Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata on WFAN The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
WFAN's Yankees game day on BT and Sal, presented by Travel Guard. Travel plans don't always go as expected. Protect your journeys with a travel insurance plan from Travel Guard. Before we get into the Yankees and World Series in Game 3 tonight at the stadium, we need to bury the pathetic, embarrassing, beyond belief New York Jets. BT, somehow the Jets went from Robert Saleh and Zach Wilson a year ago to being worse this year with Aaron Rodgers and Jeff Ulbrich. They are an embarrassment. I don't know how you continue to do it as a Jets fan.
I don't know either, but I know that I'm not doing it the way I once was. I mean, they're chipping away at me as well. And when you start chipping away at me, who's going to, you know, kind of ride this thing to the end? I don't know where to go. It's never going to change until the owner sells the team. Woody Johnson is the connection to this ineptitude. He's the worst owner in the NFL. He absolutely stinks. Joe Douglas should be fired. Every single coach should be fired. Aaron Rodgers should be said, you know, told, there's the door, didn't work out, you're not playing here next year, get lost. And I'm at the point now, whether it's Sauce Gardner, whether it's Garrett Wilson, who was really good yesterday, you know, whether it's Tucker, if anybody even has an appetite for him because he's always hurt, Jermaine Johnson coming off the injury, Will McDonald. The trade deadline is November 5th, and I am dead serious when I say I'm not giving these players away. I would trade anybody, and I would trade multiple good young players. Start over.
Right, but why would you have Joe Douglas be making those decisions? Look, this is why I was trying to say 4 years with this team. A team that was talked about being a Super Bowl team, a playoff team, a division-winning team, without actually doing anything. And then it just became, well, get Dalvin Cook last year, and get this guy, and then, oh, Devontae Adams gonna fix everything, and oh, firing Robert Saleh, well, it can't be any worse. Wrong! 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 Every move they made, they've gotten worse. Firing Saleh was the worst thing they could have done at that particular time. Ulbrich is in over his head. So now you want to trade everybody, which, like, I get in theory why you'd want to do that, but in reality, do you really want Joe Douglas making those moves? This is an organization that, while they had seen what this team was a couple of weeks ago, which wasn't a good team, thought it was a good idea to go get Devontae Adams. They already traded some draft picks for Devontae Adams, who I said wasn't going to help this team. They stink. They're not one player away, two players away. It's a disaster, and they're in too deep. I mean, the Jets are screwed. This is think about it, BT. They're worse now with a healthy Aaron Rodgers than they were a year ago. How the hell is that even possible?
And they're worse in terms of the record, and they're not even remotely at the base level of competence for the most basic operational stuff. I've been watching football 40 years. I promise you, I have never seen a team call three timeouts.
Oh my God.
In the first quarter. Yesterday's first quarter had three timeouts, had four penalties, and had a missed point after attempt. And by the way, despite all the mistakes that they made for the first 3 hours just about on yesterday, twice, the Jets defense had a chance to stop the quarterback and win the game. And it wasn't Elway or Montana or Brady or Marino or Peyton or any other star. It was Jacoby Brissett, and they could not contain him. They suck. I swear to God, Sal, they are a disgrace. And I'm at the top of the mountain, and my voice is going right to Woody. Because right now, there's no more targets to hit. There's nobody else to hit. Like, Ulbrich, I feel badly for the guy. Put in an unwinnable position. Now he's forced to think about everything. Now the defense is getting worse. The other coaches aren't even waste my time. Not even worth my time to scream about Hackett or Downing. I'm not even wasting my time there. It is the owner. Woody Johnson is a colossal failure and a colossal embarrassment, period. Conversation over. Until he's gone, they will not win and sustain nothing except this circus. That's what they'll maintain. So when they decide, and you know what? I've never said this. I've never said this in my life. when it comes to sports teams. Because I've always said, Sal, I'm not going to tell you guys how to spend your money. I don't know what's in your pocket. I don't know what you can afford. But I'm getting to the point now where I'm this close to telling people, stop going to MetLife Stadium. Don't even go. What are you going for? The more that you go, the more it emboldens Woody to continue to own the team because he's making money. It's not the failed quarterbacks or the spike or the butt fumble. It's the owner,
but
period.
The one thing I would say, BT, is the owner has tried. And the owner,
he's not good enough.
The owner built.
Hey,
team.
I tried in math. I still sucked. I brought home C's. Hey, Dad, I tried. Yeah, guess what? Dad wasn't happy with that.
But there's a lot of owners that don't even try in
sports.
Don't care. He's not one of them.
Yeah,
also,
I don't care.
Also, he's given the fans exactly what they've wanted. Whether it's Aaron Rodgers, whether it was letting Joe Douglas stay and make these draft picks and make these trades, whether it's bringing in Devontae Adams, like all the different stuff. Firing Saleh. Woody gave everybody what they wanted.
Yep.
Now he doesn't know how to build a team.
That's
where
I want him gone.
Understood. But all those other moves, like he kept just, okay, well, you want the quarterback? Here's the quarterback. You want Devontae Adams? Here's Devontae Adams. You want Robert Saleh fired? Here he is fired. Now, it's gotten worse. So he made the wrong decision, obviously. And also, we can yell and scream about all we want. He's not selling the team. Like, I used to say this the same thing to Met fans.
Did you really think the Wilpons were going to sell the team?
No, I didn't. But it's almost foolish. Like, there's got to be a better solution to fix it than just saying, well,
we're going
to sell the team.
Well, there might be. But if somebody can identify...
Well, how about hiring Harbaugh, as we said a year ago?
Well, like, but I'm talking about now, moving forward. Oh, no, you and I both said that. So right now, I agree... And the conversation is already shifting to who's coach and who's the GM next year. I get that. And I'll engage in that. But I don't think there's a perfect situation because I don't know of an accomplished head coach who's already won in the league, preferably an offensive one, so that maybe, Vrabel, who's good, but he's defense. An offensive coach who's already won, who already has synergy with an established general manager that are both out there to be hired.
Right.
Like, I know that there's steps before selling the team. I'm just going for the heart of the matter. Yeah. I'm done dancing. I'm done taking the long route, circumventing. I'm going right to the problem, and it's the owner.
Understood, but... The defense was the one who gave up that drive.
Defense is soft, weak, awful, just didn't get it done, period.
Okay, right, but the defense was talked about as some great defense. They couldn't stop. Like, even if they won that game.
Yeah, I know.
It still wasn't good enough because of the way that they played.
I agree with that.
The fact that they actually lost and gave up a touchdown drive, no less, to a backup quarterback, to a team that can't catch the football, can't score points. The Patriots are one of the worst teams. Like, that's on the defense. The fact that the kicker is still here, that can't kick, that we talked about this for weeks. How is he still here? So the organization wants to make Robert Saleh culpable, but not hold the kicker accountable? Mm-hmm. That's on Joe Douglas. Like, I could blame the quarterback, the wide receivers, the offensive line, the defense, the in-over-his-head interim head coach, shouldn't be a coach, the owner, Joe Douglas, general manager, like
everything. So basically everything.
It's everything, but it's not, to me, I don't know.
Is that all?
It's
everything.
But
you're not wrong. Keep
this
going.
Is a foundational issue.
Correct.
That the New York Jets have had for years.
Yeah.
And I almost blame everybody else in the media, too, for putting this team up on a pedestal without seeing them earn one bit of it.
Yeah.
This is not the Giants from 2022 that, at least if you believe in Dable, there's a reason for it. They did something. However minimal it may be, 1 year in the postseason, okay, fine. The Jets didn't do bleep. Haven't done bleep. And yet they were talked about national pundits, talking about all the Jets and look at the roster, all that stuff. So it's all of it just hasn't worked. And then even after that, Devontae Adams is going to work out and this is going to work. No. You just thought, even in a game where most people thought there was no way in hell they would lose yesterday. And what happened? They lose. It shows you that it's not talent. A part of me says you can't blame the owner because he did bring in the talent that was there.
He spent money. I've always said that
correct.
About him.
That's what I mean. Like,
he spent money.
If I'm the owner, I'm like, what do you want to do? You wanted the quarterback, I get you the quarterback.
Yeah.
You want the head coach fired, I fire the head coach. You want the star wide receiver, I get you the star receiver. It's now, his biggest issue is not hiring the right people, but it shows you how important it is to build a foundation as opposed to just star, talent.
Mm-hmm.
You need to build an actual team. The New York Jets are not it.
Sal, there was a sequence when Drake May was still on the field yesterday, right, where the Jets, for some reason, and they did a good job talking about this during the game, they would send three pass rushers to the left of the center. Okay, so if you're watching the TV screen, it's to the right. Obviously, if you're on the line of scrimmage, it's to the left. So three guys going left of center, which means there's one guy to contain on the right side, which is where Drake May kept running. There was no adjustments. Like, yeah, we with the Jets, we always get into the big issues because that's what it always comes right. down to. But, like, the minutia within the game was so embarrassingly bad. The inability to stop Jacoby Brissett, multiple drives back-to-back, you know, 9 plays, 10 plays, 7, 8 minutes, you know, 9 minutes. Like, this is Jacoby Brissett that we're talking about. You know, and Sal, and I'm sitting there. It's funny too because you were on the Fan,
yeah.
And I was doing my Unkillable Pod right after the game. And for most of the day, I'm sitting there saying, "All right, I'm going to probably start the podcast this way. It feels like a loss, but they won. Like that right, was my mindset, right?" And then when I actually started the podcast, I literally, you guys can check it out. I laughed for like 13 seconds straight. They lost to the Patriots. Like every conversation we've had about the Jets, given this disgusting start, it was always, I mean, as we push this week upon week getting to this past week, well, hey, once you beat the Patriots, if you can find a way to beat the Texans on Thursday, quick week at home, blah, 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 maybe you can piece together a season. But anything about a season of relevance was always worked in, baked in with the guarantee of beating the Patriots. And just as they are at their lowest point, their worst point, we still can't. They still ended our season.
It's unbelievable.
Sal, it is insane, man.
It is unbelievable in some ways. In some ways, it's not BT because it is a broken football team.
Yeah,
and it's a broken franchise.
Everything top to bottom.
And it has been that. It has been that all year. And we just didn't want to. Some of us didn't want to believe what we were seeing. And I get it. Like, they were still big favorites over the Patriots, but they're a broken football team. And if you mess around, you're going to get caught. And that's what happened yesterday. I mean, even I thought that they could lose that game. It's still shocking the way that it played out.
How about the way Sauce got burned during that?
He stinks. He's so overrated.
I'll tell you, Sauce has had an awful season. And I'm down. I know we'll get these calls here, but we said a lot. We ranted and raved. It's cathartic. We'll get you through. We'll get to the Yankees in a bit. I stand by everything I said, but the one thing that I really stand by is I am at least on a surface level exploring which young pieces I can trade. If somebody wants to give me a one or multiple twos or a one and a two, and I'm talking about for their best players, I'm all ears.
BT and Sal on the Fan, our friends at Town Fair Tire, remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Jeff is calling from the Bronx. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, guys. Appreciate taking the call. How you guys doing?
What's up, Jeff?
Hey, Jeff.
Good. So I want to talk BT off the ledge right here. So if you guys can give me a minute, listen. You complain about Woody, right?
Mm-hmm.
Imagine being a Dallas Cowboys fan, having Jerry Jones as your owner, having Jerry Jones as your GM, landing a helicopter on your field, paying Dak Prescott endless amounts of money to throw interceptions.
Well, I mean, Jeff, you have to understand my wife is a Dallas girl. She is a Cowboys fan. So I live through it on Sundays with her.
The brutal household you got going today.
And the Yankees are down 0-2 as well. I mean, I understand what you mean, like big picture in terms of delivering results. Dallas, they haven't won since 96, but at least Dallas has a beautiful stadium. At least most years, they're going to give you 10 or 11 wins. Now, they'll choke when it matters in the postseason, but
they're in the playoffs every year.
They're in the playoffs, and it's just a different, like, the Jets are in the outhouse. Dallas is still, for some reason, in a penthouse that they have no real reason to reside in. It's more about their history. Nah, the Jets' history is without parallel. I think it is the most torturous, sickening, sad existence that you could possibly have. And I think I'd rather be an Arizona Cardinals fan than the Jets. Forget about Dallas. I mean, I think I'll even take Carolina.
You could pick any team.
Carolina could draft another quarterback this year. They're going to win one or two games.
You could pick any team you'd rather
anybody.
Be. And just to dismiss the Cowboys, like, this is not about the Cowboys, but you take their success. Their failures are so different than the Jets. Like, they haven't gotten over the hump to a Super Bowl. The Jets can't have a winning season. They can't have a winning season, and you're talking Super Bowl and division and playoffs. Good God, they're not going to win 8 games this year. Everybody and their mother had the Jets over 9.5. And they'd be lucky if they win that many games.
You know what sucks? And they're not going to bench him, so let's not just talk stupid here. Rodgers, if he's healthy, he's going to start. He can't come back next year, and they won't have the stones to do it.
I mean, that'll be a whole different story.
I know. I'm just planting the seeds, and I don't want him back. You got to move on.
Tino's in Staten Island. What's up, Tino?
What's up, boys?
Hey.
How are you? Same old guys. It's BT. I'm sorry. You know, I love you, Bo. You know, we saw each other at Arca, but I have to disagree with you.
Okay, go ahead.
It's not Woody's fault. He put the product on the field. The guys are just not executing. The talent is there. You have superstar players, great players at almost every position. It's not Woody's fault to go on the field and play. He did what we wanted at all as Jet fans to get us a quarterback. He got us a Hall of Fame quarterback. It's just not working, BT.
Yeah, but hold on, Tino, hold on, buddy. I know we all know it's not working, and it doesn't seem like it's going to work anytime soon, but I know, and I also know what you mean about the players. I get that. You know, hey, listen, players go out there and make some plays, Tino. But for me, to completely disregard Woody's decision to start with a rookie head coach in Robert Saleh, it all goes back, guys, and a rookie quarterback in Zach, and, you know, a young, like a coordinator who was unproven, all the elements that no other team would do, because there's nothing about that equation that shouts success. So that, and then, you know, and then you keep Joe Douglas around. You probably should have fired Saleh after the season. You didn't, which means during the season, you got to do something impulsive. Like, I understand Woody spends money, and I'm not trying to be like I appreciate that. I really do. Donald Sterling didn't spend all those years. Mm-hmm. Like, there are owners who just aren't good, like Woody, but there are owners who at least try, like Woody. And I believe Woody cares, but there's just nothing cohesive about the franchise. Everywhere you look, 40-year-old quarterback, a weird head coach quarterback, and it goes back to even Idzik, McCaffrey. Like, it's forever, man. Who's owned the team? Woody.
Right, but you also believe, and I'm not saying you, people believed in this team this year.
I did. No, I definitely did, Sam.
Okay, so my point is that the owner then, this year at least, and I get why he's the problem. Like, it's very simple what needs to happen. It's very simple. He needs to fire everybody and hire somebody that's actually had success as a program builder. The way that Parcells took over for the Jets, the way that Jim Harbaugh is, that's what the Jets have been. Not only do they need now, they have needed that for years. Move that aside for a second.
Yep.
He gave the Jet fans a star quarterback who many people believed in. He gave the Jets a roster that many people believed in. Even when they were down, he fired the head coach, which many people wanted. He brought in Devonta Adams. Like, to me, yes, Woody is to blame for one thing, and that's not bringing in a program builder, a known commodity as a head coach. But that's been a story for many years. That, to me, is not the reason why this team has failed this year.
Well, to me, you know, his inability to surround himself with, you know, football people who have league contacts. I've talked about this. Yeah. League-wide contacts. Like, this is a systemic issue with the New York Jets. And, you know, you talk about the success that many of us thought that the Jets would have, which is true. I thought the Jets would be good, very good this year.
Oh, a lot of people did.
No, I wasn't alone. Yeah. I mean, Vegas was leading the charge. Right. But what was I saying? So anytime we talked about the Jets leading up to the season, I always said, if the Jets win, they'll win in spite of
Robert Saleh.
Okay, so by bringing Robert Saleh back, which they did, and at the end of the day, the buck stops with Woody. That's a Woody thing. Mm-hmm. When I would say that to Sal, hey, the Jets will have success this year in spite of Robert Saleh, that was me telling you that I still, while I thought they would be good, I still, even going in, had these massive reservations. The guy that I didn't trust was fired, right, wrong, or indifferent. He didn't win at all, mm-hmm. and he's gone. So, like, It even when it seemed positive, you know, it still wasn't perfect, because I was telling people that if they win, they're going to win despite the presence of the coach.
Right.
Who says that about a team that they think is going to be good?
Right, understood, which is why I couldn't let that get in my way, saying I don't believe in his coach.
Smarter than me, then. Well, good for you, really.
But it's not
good
just that.
Good for you, good read.
It's not just that. It's about the foundation. Same thing with Devonta Adams. Like, did we really think a wide receiver was going to fix all the Jets' problems? The three timeouts in the first quarter, the delay of game penalties, the stupid, like,
on a two-point conversion!
That's what I'm saying. Like, think of all the defense that can't get a big stop to save their life.
Yep.
Against Jacoby Brissett. Like, it's a total mess. Now, you said unkillable famously last year. This year, I say unwatchable. There is one thing I think that they could do that at least makes them watchable and entertaining, and I'm not going to say it would save their season, but it's their best shot at saving the season.
I can't wait to hear this.
Where they've already gone all in. I alluded to it yesterday when I was on the air. We'll get to that when we come back and continue with the calls as well. BT and Sal back on the Fan. We'll get back to your calls here in just a second. You know, yesterday, BT, I was on the show during the Jets game. Figured I was going to be talking all Yankee baseball. And then, of course, the Jets coughed that one up somehow, inexplicably losing to the Patriots. And I was going to do this. Actually, when I talked about this, we were going to do this last week, but we just got so busy with the Yanks and everything that was going on last week and even the Giants stuff, so we didn't have a chance to do it. But even more so after their loss yesterday, the one thing that the Jets could do to make Thursday night relevant, to make the rest of the season watchable or somewhat interesting, because it's not right now, is hire Rex Ryan.
Oh,
it doesn't mean that Rex is the answer. I get it. Like, you and I think are in agreement that Rex isn't a good head coach.
He's not.
But he's the only, like, they've already went out and got Adams. They went and brought back Hassan Reddick. How's that doing? Oh, yeah, Reddick really had his presence felt. This, their head coach is not a head coach. Like, they went from the worst head coach in the NFL to a guy who's not a head coach, period. Like, Ulbrich is in way over his head. Rex would swim across the Hudson for this opportunity, similar to what the Colts did with Jeff Saturday a couple years ago, pulling him out midseason from the broadcast booth or whatever, of the broadcast studio. You know Rex would want it. He's got a relationship with Woody. And I do feel like Rex, under these circumstances with this team, might make the most of an otherwise crappy situation. Doesn't mean I want him here next year, because I don't. But I think right now, Woody needs to hire Rex Ryan.
I don't need the buffoonery. I have zero interest. And I don't doubt that he would try to swim across the Hudson to get there, but that's because nobody else in football wants him. You know, newsflash to Rex, who's good on TV. Nobody's hiring you, Rex. So when you go on with Greenberg or whatever other shows you go on and you kiss Woody Johnson's ass and you make you play for the job, everybody sees through it, at least I do. And Rex Ryan espousing about Jets pride. They're not a speck of Jets pride.
You don't think he loved being a
Jets?
Jet?
What the hell does Jets pride even mean? Jets pride? Jets pride?
Let's simplify it, though. You think Rex is a better head coach than Jeff Ulbrich?
Yes, but not enough to change anything. Like, Rex, to me, it's, here we go, defensive coach. And by the way,
but you wanted Adams, and that wasn't really enough, and I get why you wanted them, and I'm not trying to pick on you here. I'm just saying, in general.
Right. It's all good. I got things wrong with the Jets. But see, Rex Ryan, first of all, I think it's over. Right. I just think his time has come and gone. The Bills threw him a lifeline. He was off with the Buffalo Bills. He hasn't been coaching for how many years now? 5, 6?
I still think it's been a long time. I know, but I still think he's better than Ulbrich. Point is,
wait, so you're trying to save the season?
They went all in. Like, why stop now?
I would trade players, like I said before, rather than bringing somebody now as a coach to try to resuscitate what they think they can resuscitate. Because I don't think it's resuscitatable.
To me, it's unwatchable. And when you go all in, paying Reddick, whatever, to get him on the field, trading.
Keep going. I was just thinking about what you just said.
You pay Reddick, you traded picks or whatever for Devontae Adams.
That third round
pick. A third round pick, you'd rather have that.
You need the third round pick.
That's what I'm saying. So
that could be a second.
So if you're going to do that, then don't stop. And again, I want to be clear. I'm not. Now, I liked Rex's opening press conference. Made me like everybody.
So did I. Well, Kissing the Rings.
Yeah.
Oh, listen, I was eating it up early. There's no doubt.
And he did early. He did have success, I always thought, with Mangini's teams, but he did have success. I don't think, and I didn't like the hire in Buffalo. Like, at the end, what Rex, to me, it was buffoonery.
It was complete buffoonery.
Right, but, BT, if there's ever a time to do it, again, I don't think Rex is the answer for the future.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, in a season where they went all in, I would bet you Jet fans would be excited about the Rex hire, seeing if he could turn this thing around with, you know, whatever, 9 games left at this point. Why not take it? Ulbrich is, he's not that coach. I'd rather hire Francesa than have Ulbrich. And I mean that. I mean that with all sincerity. Like, Ulbrich is, he's not a head coach. He's lost.
Yeah. All right, so there's 9 games to go, and you yourself are admitting that Rex is not the answer for the future, but just a little Hail Mary this year, right?
Well, why not?
So what if they go 5-4, and it's a whole hell of a lot better than this slop?
All right.
You're going to bring him back? They're not a playoff team.
I think it's a
7-win team. What do you do? Because now if you bring him back, you're bringing back the guy that you're admitting, right, and I definitely don't want as the head coach of the future for the Jets. And there's going to be some games that even if you have an ounce of confidence, you're going to win.
Right. Here's what I would do. I would see how it works. Now, I don't anticipate them making the playoffs, even with Rex Ryan. But let's just say, hypothetically, they hire Rex, they get to the playoffs. I also don't think Rex Ryan is the answer to be a franchise builder, okay? It's already proven that he's not. However, you're looking at Rodgers, who's going to be here again. Mm. You're looking at another year of Adams. Like, for the spot that the Jets put themselves in, what head coach worth of salt is going to come here and try to clean this mess up anyway.
Yep.
So maybe you're better off with Rex for the rest of the season and one more year and then blowing it up. Like, I'm just trying to solve the crap, that the mess that they made. To me, you might as well put another piece of garbage on top of it. I don't want to call Rex that.
No, you see what I'm saying?
Just pile on top. Hey, if you're taking chances everywhere, the main issue to me is the head coach, and I think Rex would be an upgrade. You're not getting Vrabel. You're not getting Belichick. Harbaugh's already hired. You're not getting Ben Johnson right now.
No.
And you're probably not getting him in the offseason anyway. You think Ben Johnson would want to come here with Aaron Rodgers in place next year?
And by the way, there's no guarantee that he's going to be a good head coach.
Well,
he's an OC.
Well, that's true, too.
I can't take that chance at this point.
Who's the guy? Vrabel?
I guess it's Vrabel, or you beg Belichick. I know Belichick's not coming, but how do you not beg him? How do you not get on your hands and knees and beg Bill Belichick?
Right.
You have to.
Give him ownership, saying I won't
give
say
whatever
a word.
He wants.
Pretty please,
anything.
Bill,
I would even go so far as, Bill, you were right. Yeah. I wouldn't have wanted to be the head coach of the NYJs anyway, you know, 20 years ago. You were right. Help us fix it. Beg, plead, grovel, do it all. But it ain't Rex. I mean, listen, to me, the foundational crack is so widespread and so obvious at this point that Rex is a coat of paint. And at that point, I'm not looking for a coat of paint. I'm looking for a wrecking ball. Give me that big... the big ball that just smashes down what remains of the foundation and start completely over.
And we'll see with the contracts and how that works itself out in the offseason. But
you want Rodgers back next season?
No, but you might be stuck with him.
Oh,
and if you are, why not bring back Rex for a year?
Don't you have to almost hope that Rodgers, I would never say gets hurt, never. But don't you have to hope that he is just so... so without joy the rest of the way that he decides to retire? Because you're right. If he does it, the implications for the cap and some other situations.
Like, he's probably going to be here.
It's a little tough. If he's the one who does it, let's face it, he's got enough money for five generations of Rodgers down the road if he wants. I don't know if he wants. Would you want to come back to this? Mm. If you're him?
You think he's going out like that, though?
It might get worse, dude, because he ain't that good. I mean, by the way,
how are they
30,
worse with Rodgers than they were with Zach Wilson?
Listen, I told everybody Zach wasn't the problem. I thought Zach could spin it. I thought Timmy could spin it, too. You know that there's been 30 straight games by Aaron Rodgers where he has not thrown 300 yards? 30 straight? It's the longest active streak in the NFL. He's just not the same guy, and this ain't the Packers, and you can't hide it.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on the Fan. We'll continue with your calls here. Yanks World Series Game 3 tonight, BT. We'll get into the Yanks in just a second, but obviously we have tickets for Game 4 to give away coming up later on in the show.
Yeah, we do. It's time to start collecting some wins here. So on Friday, we gave away tickets for Game 3. Tonight, or today, I should say, at some point, we will give you a chance to win Game 4 tickets. Now, when you hear this...
you know you can't predict baseball.
He sounds so serious there. Yeah. So intelligent. One more time there.
You know you can't predict baseball.
All right, so when you guys hear that, not now. When you hear that, first caller to give us a buzz at 866-540-W. FAN. That's 866-540-9326. That is your chance to win your way in and secure two tickets to see the Yankees Game 4 of the World Series against those Dodgers tomorrow night, October 29th at the stadium. Hopefully at that point it's 2-1. Yankees looking to even things up. All brought to you by the New York Yankees and your station for Yankees Talk postseason tickets and every postseason game, WFAN. And obviously, listen, secondary market stuff. You win this, it's going to be flagged. You cannot sell. No way around it. You win, you're in Game 4, Yankees Dodgers.
And it is WFAN's Yankee Game Day on BT and Sal, presented by Travel Guard. Over the weekend, I got a lot of inquiries about you, my friend, as wherever I was going, whether it was my nephew's hockey game or just via text.
We're just talking about Joey. I think I'd rather talk about Joey's hockey game than what you're about to hit me with now.
Well, how's BT? How's BT? That was after the first game, and then after the second game. Yesterday when I was doing a show, multiple people called. Oh, Sal, you got to bring the broom into the office. I'm like, whoa.
Broom.
Like, oh, BT, how's he doing? I'm like, look, we texted a little bit on Saturday after game one. I'm not going to bother him after 0-2. Yeah. I'll deal with him on Monday and see how you're feeling. So where are you at right now, down 0-2?
I'm worried. I'm definitely worried. The Dodgers are slightly better than the Yankees. And the reason why I'm slightly better, but the reason why I'm worried, and I do think they get a win tonight. And if they don't, they very well might get swept. Like, if they don't win tonight, they might get swept.
Right.
I do think they're going to win tonight. Judge is a mess. We'll get to him, you and I, in a moment. He is, wow. But what's worrying me now is that Aaron Boone's deficiencies are becoming clear. you know, for a long time on this station, I've gotten more after Cashman. And, you know, Boone, I've defended him a little bit without overstating it. Not crazy, but I thought some of you guys were just a little too much in the wrong direction, maybe missing the target, which I always thought is a bit more Cashman. And, oh, yeah, by the way, when you're forced to pinch hit Trevino in game two with guys on and down a couple of runs, I can go back to Brian Cashman because there's no bench. But I got two things now, one on Boone and one on Gerrit Cole. First of all, to even think about going to the top step of that dugout on Friday night and pull Gerrit Cole after 88 is beyond comprehension. That I don't need to waste time on how dumb that was by Aaron Boone.
Which set everything else in motion the wrong way after you do that. You can't have Weaver against the top of the order in
correct,
the 10.
Correct.
Because you went to Cole, wait, you pulled Cole way too early.
Once you start firing those bullets early, you're chasing your tail, and the Cortez, I don't even blame Cortez. You know, he put himself in a position to get...
And he did get Ohtani out, too.
He did on the pop. Great play by Verdugo. And, you know, he's basically saying, hey, there's a chance my arm explodes, but it's the World Series, and I'm giving... And I respect that. So I'm not going to get on Cortez. Not only did Boone go to him foolishly, and Hill's been very good, but he went to him, and he put him in a position he's never been in his life, okay? So, colossal mistake. Gerrit Cole. I think people are kind of missing the mark here, because everybody's on Boone pulling him. Gerrit Cole... How in the world do you not just look your manager in the eye and say, get back in there, don't waste your time coming out here, this is my game, stay in there. He so meekly gave up the baseball, I was stunned.
Yeah, maybe he was done at that point.
After 88 pitches?
I mean, I don't know.
Well, if he's done after 88, then the Yankees are done after two.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, right. If he can't go more than 88 in October, game one, Dodgers, then the Yankees have no shot.
They just don't make him like they used to. I mean, dude, how about...
88.
It's not about the Dodgers, obviously, but how about the fact that idiot Dave Roberts pulled Yamamoto? He'll have one hit! He'll have one hit and showed no signs of wearing down at all.
He was great.
And you pull him from a World Series game. He didn't get what he deserved because he deserved to have the bullpen cough it up. Okay, before we get into the nuance, though, I want to just get back to where you were at. So you're saying you're a little concerned here, but you believe the Yanks will win tonight.
Yeah, I'm definitely concerned, yeah.
Okay, let me tell you where I'm at. Now, you know I said Dodgers in five going in. I thought the Dodgers in the National League were far superior. I'm actually more encouraged being down 0-2, not the result, down
0-2,
but because the Yankees did something I didn't think they were going to do, and that is pitch. They have done, even in game two, where Rodon predictably got lit up. He's just
what
whatever.
What a scene that was. Rocket.
Shocker. But predictably, Rodon gets hit, Boone goes to the bullpen, and they shut him down.
Nothing.
So Boone did the right thing by keeping that game close. Where that game should have been like an 8-1, 8-2 game, whatever. If the Dodgers lineup was what we thought, getting to the lesser arms in the Yankee bullpen, but they didn't. The fact that Gerrit Cole, like we both were like, you take six innings, three runs.
Yeah, that's exactly what we said.
He was a legit ace against the Dodgers in game one.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that the Yankees pitch, I said if they pitch, they were going to win this series. Now, I also thought Judge was going to hit, but I think that it's more likely that Judge will click and start to hit. And if the Yankees keep up their pitching, that's the path. That's the formula to get back in the series and win this series. I did not think they could win this series if they didn't pitch. I didn't think they were going to be able to hold the Dodgers at bay. They have. Even though they're down 0-2, they have pitched.
Listen, the Yankees aren't the Jets. And we started the show talking about the Jets. So, of course, the Yankees have a chance to do some good things here because they're just a much better franchise than the Jets, the exact opposite of the Jets. I mean, nobody's waving the white flag here, but I did think that they would get one. I'm less convinced that Judge is going to snap out of this, dude.
Okay.
I mean, to me, there's two ways to attack it. And really, I get both ways. So the one way, if you believe, and of course I'm hopeful, but I can't say that I'm rooted in conviction that Judge starts to hit. He's looked that bad. But the two ways to process Judge. Number one, he's the best player we've seen. He's the MVP. The more he plays, eventually he's going to remember that he's Aaron Judge. Here come the results. Yankees ceiling elevates three or four levels. That's I get that. I get it. But then you watch his swings, and there is zero evidence that he has confidence. He is jumpy again.
His confidence is definitely taking a hit.
Oh,
I'm
my
with you,
God.
Man.
He's flailing at curves in the dirt. 0-1, missing fastballs. 0-2. Like, he just really... He looks as bad as a superstar could look, to the point where I don't even want him up there in a big spot. I don't want him up there right now. I almost would take a scrappy at-bat out of Verdugo, who's not even hitting well, or Volpe, or anybody else. But Austin Wells, like, Judge just... Sal, he looks terrible.
You see, I don't see it. I mean, getting beat by the fastball shows you where his head is at, which is not where it needs to be. I don't look at him and say, wow, he's having awful at-bats.
I do. He missed a fastball Friday night. Yeah. When we were younger, it's kind of a jerk thing to say, like, you know, you don't really say this when you're high school or college, but when you're young, when a kid swings and the ball's basically by him, and we'd say, you know, hey, swing now, swing like for the dugout. There was one, and I know he was obviously expecting something soft, clearly, but he swung and the ball was in the catcher's mitt.
Yeah.
You just don't see that.
Right, but he's guessing wrong. He's in his head. I still feel like... Now, I'm looking at it from a different perspective. I'm not rooting for the Yankees. I bet the Dodgers, all that stuff. I pick the Dodgers, but he still scares the hell out of me every time he's up there. He's just, and by the way, he's faced some nasty pitching as well. Like, Trinan against him is a tough matchup. It has been a tough matchup. I also think the Dodgers' bullpen is starting to wear down. They also have Walker Buehler tonight, who, I mean, he could be good, sure, but I don't think
he's
about,
not going deep, put it that way.
Okay, Walker Buehler into the bullpen. Bullpen game four.
I hear you. There's a window.
Flaherty for the second time in game five.
There's a window.
I still feel like Judge is... I'd leave him alone in that order. I'm not messing
with him. I'm not messing around with him, but with him batting order either.
One thing for sure, they cannot... Now, I thought he was going to hit and they weren't going to win because I didn't think they would pitch as well as they did. They cannot beat the Dodgers without Aaron Judge producing on some level.
No, I totally agree. And, you know, by the way, how do we not even, I know it was Friday, how do we not even insert this? Because I don't know anybody who's been on him more than us. And me even, well, actually, you a long time ago as well, Glaber. I mean, play Friday night is just, that is just a lack of effort and awareness and intensity and care and want. Completely unforgivable.
Are you surprised?
And where was Rizzo trailing? As a first baseman, you're taught to trail the play. So he should have been in a different spot. There were so many breakdowns on that. I thought that Soto loafed after that ball. He was a little slow to get it in. There is no way under any circumstance should that ball get paid. I know it was a tough one hop, a short hop. I get it. You're a major league second baseman, dude. And the fact that Aaron Boone, how many teams in baseball, I'm going to guess the answer is one, just the Yankees, has to run for a pinch run for a second baseman. How the hell slow are you as a second baseman that you have to get pinch run for?
Yeah, you think it was in part because he wanted the upgrade in defense as well?
Well, I'll tell you, I think Cabrera at third is okay. I think Cabrera at first base has acquitted himself well. I don't love Cabrera at second, but first of all, he
missed that
pass
play
the ball.
Well. Yeah, I know. That's
and the crazy
play,
thing is, Glaber, that's a hard play. Glaber probably makes that because Glaber doesn't have to think on that play.
Here's the thing. We both said it. I don't care how much he hits. And by the way, he's been raking. So, a fraction away from hitting a home run there. Still, you knew that at some point, because he does it consistently, like, it's the most easy thing to predict in the world because he always does something stupid like that, and you just didn't want to have it rear its ugly head in the biggest moment. And the Yankees have been able to overcome those type things against the Royals or the Guardians. Not going to do that against the Dodgers. And in that spot, you make one mistake like that. Ohtani takes third. Boom. Sac fly. Game is tied. Like
three times guys took third base. Twice it burned them. Once it didn't. Verdugo did not early on. Verdugo.
Yeah.
And then Soto.
There's no way that ball should have gotten past Glaber and it ended up
closer. I agree.
So of all
or
the
Soto
things,
for that matter. Yeah. It's got to be a double.
Yeah. Well, you just know with Soto, he's not a good defensive fielder.
No.
I mean, that's the issue.